Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Are you prepared to pay for two sets of college tuition at the same time, or pay for major life events like weddings or house down payments? The thought of just one of these is overwhelming, much less paying for two at a time. What can you do to plan ahead and save money for the future of twin parenting? Today, we're here to talk with Paul Fenner about saving money for twins. This is Twin Talks.
The ultrasound shows your babies to be healthy.
What? Did you say babies? You're huge. Are you having twins?
Are they natural?
Which one do you like better?
Twins, huh? My neighbor's cousin's brother's uncle's a twin.
So can they read each other's minds?
How do you tell them apart?
Twins? You got a 2-for-1.
Do twins run in your family?
Double trouble.
You're not having any more, are you?
At least you're not octomom.
If you're pregnant with twins or you're an experienced twin parent, odds are you've heard it all before. Now it's time to hear from the experts. This is Twin Talks, Parenting Times 2. Welcome to Twin Talks. Twin Talks is your weekly online, on-the-go support group for expecting and new parents of twins. And I'm your host, Christine Stewart Fitzgerald, and I am, of course, a parent of twins. I have identical girls who are now almost 10 years old, and I'll have to tell you, they are becoming tweens, which I didn't know really what that means, but the whole girl drama thing is going on. So, oh my gosh, it's just, it's a new era. And then I also have a singleton girl. So we got 3 girls in the house. And so I got to say, my husband, he said, yeah, I think we need to get a dog with cojones because just to balance it out. So 3 girls, and she's going to be 7 in a couple months. So we have a lot of fun dynamics going on. So who else? Let's see. I'm going to toss it over to Sunny, our producer.
All right. Hey, Christine. And hey, everyone. Thanks so much for being with us today on our show. So I'm Sunny. I'm producing today's show, and I'm also a parent of twins, and I have some singletons too. So my first 2 kids were singletons. Those are boys, 9 and 7. And then I have identical twin girls who are about 5.5 now. And Christine, I'm totally scared about the whole tween situation. So you and I are going to have to chat later because I have no idea what to expect. But they're still pretty young, right? But I still like to have, like, maybe we have to do a whole episode, Christine, on tweens and how to
prep your kids. Oh my gosh.
I
think we do. That is going to have to be in the works because let's just say tween plus girl plus twin power. Oh. Not a great combination.
Well, we just had something interesting happen with my girls, and that is, so school started recently, and this is the first time they haven't been in the same class. And I know we've talked about that a little bit on Twin Talks in the past, but the thing that was interesting this year is I was planning on them being in the same class. So they did TK last year. So for those of you who aren't in California, TK is like pre-K, all right? And it was half days. And then this year they're in kindergarten, and the school changed it. So kindergarten's now full days. And I didn't think to tell the school in advance that I still wanted them in the same class. Our plan was for TK and kindergarten, keep them in the same class. And then starting in first grade, they'd be in separate classes because I do recognize they need to be in separate classes and their own friends. But I still thought based on what I saw and what their teacher saw in TK that we needed to keep them together in kindergarten. But we didn't tell the school that. And I guess I just kind of assumed it would happen. So when we got teacher assignments this year, they were in separate classes. And I kind of had a mini panic attack because I was like, they're not ready. But I have to tell you guys, I was very, very nervous the first day of school, and it took a couple days, but you should see. So my one twin, who's usually a little bit more quiet and everything, she is blossoming. And I, you know, again, we talk about this on Twin Talks all the time, the importance of letting your kids shine and have their own moments. And I have to admit, I think I was wrong as a parent to think that in kindergarten they couldn't be separated because I am just seeing her just shine, really. And so wow. It turned out to be a good thing, but Mama was really stressed.
bit. No, and I get it. I mean, because you want to, you know, we're worried. I mean, yeah. I think it is so hard to find that balance of protecting and caring for our kids and then just letting them figure it out themselves.
Yes.
And I know, and I think, and you think like, you know, kindergartners, I mean, they're 5 years old, you know, can they do that? And it is, it's such a big change. So I totally get that. And I'll just say, I know in our case, we did, my girls were together in preschool. And then I think, and when they were four, we put them in separate classes because we figured, okay, it's only for a few hours a day.
Sure.
And then kindergarten was the separate classes. And it was a hard transition. I will definitely say that. But they've gotten used to it. And we've just had right. separate classes ever since.
Yeah.
And, you know, they see each other on the playground.
Yeah.
They play with each other all the time, which I actually wish they wouldn't. But
yeah. And the girls still see each other like at recess and, you know, lunchtime and stuff like that. But I guess I didn't think they could handle it. And they are totally handling it. And their teachers say they're doing amazing. And I'm like, okay, I guess I was wrong. So anyways, not that you have to do what we did, but just know your kids are more resilient than you think they are, right? And
yes.
And most times they can completely handle it. And maybe it can even be better for them. So if you guys are listening to our episodes on your computer or whatever, know that we have a mobile app that you can listen to Twin Talks as well as get a ton of other great parenting content. It's called Parents on Demand. That is our podcast network that we're part of. So in Apple or Android, if you guys search for Pod Network or Parents on Demand, you can find it. And like I said, there's a ton of great content on there where you can like listen to one episode from one podcast like Twin Talks, and then you can go and listen to another episode from a different show, and it's a ton of great content on there. You can even interact with the shows a little bit. You can search according to the age of your kids. So if you're not familiar with the other shows and you kind of want to do a little bit of searching on the app, you can do that as well. And more great stuff is coming soon. So just know that we've got the Parents on Demand app, and we'd love for you to listen that way as well. Okay, guys. So sometimes we like to kick off Twin Talks with an inspiring story. In this case, it's a news headline. You know, sometimes the news segments, they're kind of down. And this is a positive story about twins and triplets. And I wanted to share it with you guys. So this title of this headline is Desperate Couple Adopts Triplets. Then Doctor Tells Them About a New Sonogram That Reveals Something Else, which I'm going to get to in a second. So the couple is Sarah and Andy Justice. And they're from Oklahoma. And, you know, a lot of us go through this as twin parents, but, you know, we're trying to have kids or whatever. And the doctor is saying, hey, you know, it doesn't look like it's really going to happen for you. So you start to make other plans. I know for my husband and I, we tried for several years to have kids and we just didn't think it was going to happen. And, you know, that's that sinking feeling in your stomach and you start to make other plans. And in this case, Sarah and Andy found a surrogate and she was pregnant. She got pregnant, right? And they were kind of going along and, you know, through the whole, you know, pregnancy process with her and supporting her. And then the sonogram came back and it revealed that this woman was having triplets. And so,
yikes.
Of course, I know, right? So you can imagine Sarah and Andy thought they were getting one baby. And we've all been in that position, right? Where the doctor comes back and says, actually, that one baby is like two babies or three babies, you know? So there's that element of it that we can all relate to. And then several months later, after the babies, the triplets were delivered without any problems, which is amazing. And I guess it was only a week later after the triplets were born, Sarah and Andy got some more news and they found out that Sarah was actually pregnant with twins. So sometimes it's after, you know, when your body can actually relax, you know, and in this case, right. I'm imagining that the parents, Sarah and Andy, are just so happy that they're going to have triplets, right? I'm sure Sarah was able to relax a little bit more and not stress about it. And her body's like, yay, now's the time to get pregnant with twins. So then she had her twins. And then even shortly after that, she had another singleton. So
that's insane. So I think you said it's a week later. So they find out they're going to have the triplets.
And then a week after the triplets were born is when she found out that she was pregnant with twins. And then after she had her twins, she ended up getting pregnant with a singleton. So this family went from not even being sure they could have any kids to within, you know, a couple years period of time, you know, having six kids. So anyways, this particular article, it tells about their story, but then it also has some updated pictures of them. And obviously they're just still ecstatic. And, you know, sometimes, you know, you get that initial news that you're having more than one baby and you kind of freak out. But this family really handled this with a lot of grace. And I'm just pretty amazed. But even today, they're looking very happy. And, you know, you see all six kids like doing stuff together in some of these photos. So anyways, this is just a nice, fun, uplifting story to share, to say if you are kind of going through that where you're not sure if you're going to be able to have a family or whatever, amazing things can happen. And so we can learn that from this family, who handled it amazingly.
Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hannah baby. Introducing a new collection, Hannah Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable, with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hannah quality for your most precious gift. Hannah Soft, made to last. Shop now at hannahanderson.com.
Well, we're here today with Paul Fenner of Tama Capital, who is a financial planner, but most importantly, he is a dad to four kids, including triplets. So we're just talking about triplets. So yes, I know, Paul, you got it down. So Paul knows what it's like to have to buy three of everything all at once. And we're here today to talk about how parents of twins, triplets, and more can plan ahead financially and be prepared for the big expenses down the road. Okay, well, first of all, Paul, before we get into the whole financial stuff, I mean, I just want to know, like, you have triplets and then you have one more. So, you know, after talking about our story here of finding out you have more after triplets, like, what was your first reaction?
Well, it was a chain reaction, to be honest with you. We, similar situation to the story, you know, Teresa, my wife, and I didn't think we were going to have kids. And then when we finally found out that Teresa was pregnant, we're like, yes, you know, we're going to have a baby. And that's what we thought, a baby.
A baby, right.
And then to make it a little bit more challenging on us, I was actually living in North Carolina, and Teresa, who's from the Metro Detroit area where we live today, was here in Metro Detroit. So about 4 weeks later, after we found out we were initially pregnant, we found out we were having twins. Little did we know we had a boy and a girl. And I'm like, okay, this just got a little bit more interesting, but you know, our plan was still to move to North Carolina. And then 4 weeks after that, so week eight was the first ultrasound that I got to go to. And I'm watching the monitor, I'm watching the doctor, and doctor and I lock eyes on each other because I saw what she saw on the screen, which were not two, but three heartbeats.
Oh boy.
And so what we found out is that our boy actually split. Mm. So we have identical twin boys and a girl that make up our triplet pack. And then lo and behold, you know, couple that's not ever supposed to have kids, like the couple in Oklahoma, 2 years later, out comes Mackenzie. So our singleton. So we have two boys and two girls, a set of triplets, a set of twins, and a singleton, all wrapped up in one happy family.
Wow. And now I can imagine the dynamics in your family, the sibling relationships are probably really interesting because you've got the boys and then your girl triplet. You know, does she hang out with her triplet siblings, or does she become like sort of the nurturer to her younger sister? I mean, I'm sure that's a whole bunch of really interesting aspects.
It is. It's a nice, what do you call it? Petri dish experiment, because it, you know, Madison, who's the girl triplet, and she's the oldest by a minute, seconds, whatever. And if you ever meet Madison, she will let you know that she is the oldest.
of course.
But she is the leader of the four. And so she does well with everybody. So it has been unique to see each of their personalities develop, because they all four are unique. Although you'll have some people that want to think, well, aren't they all the same? And no, they're not. Even the boys that are identical twins, you know, are not the same. They are, everybody has their own personality. And like you guys were just talking before about, you know, Sonny, your twins, you know, splitting them up or keeping them together. we split the triplets up. Going through pre-kindergarten and preschool, our Montessori program, we knew that once they hit kindergarten that we needed to have them split up so they can start to develop their own personalities and not just be seen as, okay, here comes the Fenner triplets. And it's worked out really well. It's a little harder on Teresa and I having them all in separate grades, but yeah. It's definitely been a benefit to them.
Yeah, separate grades, separate teachers. That's the thing that I'm noticing is I'm like, man, like now, you know, just like silly things, you know, but that like they're both in kindergarten and like the grading scale is a little bit different. So I'm like, oh, you got purple for the week and you got pink. What's the scale? What does purple mean again? And what does pink mean for you? Like it's little things like that that I'm like, this is a lot harder than three.
right.
Yes.
Completely.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Paul, okay, so I have to ask you, as a financial planner, when you found out that you were having three, I mean, what were your first thoughts? I mean, and what was like running through your mind from the financial standpoint?
Well, it happened right off the bat. So if you go back to how I just explained, like how I found out about the triplets. So when we had our ultrasound appointment, and our appointment after that was to go to the car dealership to trade in Teresa's little Saab, you know, Q93 or whatever, and get a SUV. And so once we found out we're having triplets, I just called the auto dealership and said, hey, we're not going to make it in. We're going to need a different car. I just found out I'm having triplets.
Oh, gosh.
So that pretty much just put us into the dreaded minivan that, you know, no one wants to drive, but I will say plug for Chrysler. Like the new Pacifica that I've been driving for the last 2 years, it's the best. It's the best. I'll just leave it at that.
It's so funny how your perception of minivans change when you have multiples. Yeah. It's like I was an anti-minivan person too. Like I waited as long as I could. And then the moment I got it, I was like, why have I been denying myself this amazing vehicle?
Yeah, I mean, you get over the fact very quickly that you are in business of convenience and whatever makes it easier for you. And so that was our first major, I guess, financial decision, and really the new cost that we were going to experience of, you know, having these three kids.
So your car was like the first expense. And then were you like starting to think about like, oh my gosh, you know, like school tuition, right? Just even clothes and food,
no.
And thinking like when your boys are teenagers, you know, eating you out of house and home, right?
Maybe because I'm a guy and that's how guys operate. I really didn't. I knew that this was going to be a long road. And if I was going to allow myself to think about, you know, at the time, like college, three colleges, weddings, things like that, you know, I was going to drive myself nuts. and that's the same advice that I tell parents today, whether they have multiples or just multiple kids, is to take it one day at a time and don't get overwhelmed by the anxiety that the future can cause, because we all know these kids only stay small for so long and then they're gone. And, you know, I realized that today with my own four is that, like, crap, the triplets started third grade this year and Mackenzie, the plus one, started second. I'm like, those years went by really fast. And, you know, that the nice thing about what I do is I interact with so many families, with kids of all ages, kids that are older than mine, kids that are just going through, you know, going through college, kids that have already gone through college and now the parents are empty nesters. So I get a lot of really good inside information, if you will, from all these families and parents that I work with about what their experience was like. And I can use that to help myself and help Teresa, but then also pass that knowledge on to other families that are in similar situations. The ironic part about where we live today, which is up in Commerce Township, which is Northwest Metro Detroit, is we now have three sets of triplets that live in our subdivision.
Oh, wow. And, how unusual is that, right?
And it's like, everybody's like, well, what's in the water? And it's like, and ironically, the last family that just moved in, they had their singleton first, a 4-year-old. Then they had triplets that are now two, which ended up being two boys and a girl. So they did the opposite of our situation. But I saw them at the park the other day, and like they're all running around, and you know, I could just see the angst on their faces, and I'm like, you know, here, let me try to help, you know, grab this one, you grab the other three. They're going through potty training. I'm like, oh man, I remember those days.
Oh boy.
Wow. So, I mean, like, okay. You definitely work with families of all different proportions and ages and working with other triplet families. From a financial standpoint, how are families with multiples different than families with just singletons? I mean, what do parents need to think about financially?
Well, I actually remind them, and I remind myself, and actually I probably remind Teresa the most out of anybody in my life, that we are different. Like when you have multiples, it seems pretty straightforward, but I think in these moments we forget like it's different, that you know we're going to be paying for three colleges at once or two colleges at once if you have twins or however it may be, and you're not going to be able to do everything. So it comes back to like one of the basic tenets of financial planning and me working with clients is getting them to understand what their priorities are, actually sitting down and laying them out. And that may be explaining to one parent that wants to pay for the entire college bill that you won't be able to do that. Or, you know, the parent that doesn't want to pay for anything that, no, you will be able to pay for some. But it's getting parents and families to sit down. And oftentimes this happens for the first time when I start working with folks or families. This is the first time they're actually sitting down to think about these things. And a lot of times it's fear that has prevented them from getting to this standpoint. And sometimes families are way too far down the line to do what they want. Other times they're starting, you know, relatively young. And that's, I tell families all the time, the best time to start is now. Don't let the clock keep ticking, because it will just, the anxiety will continue to build, and you will just keep kicking that can down the road until it comes to the day when everything's due and you're like, oh, it would have been nice to have a plan.
Right.
And that's really where it gets back to is having a fundamental plan and knowing what your priorities are and not being influenced by, you know, outside forces, if you will.
Right. We have a lot of pregnant, you know, parents who are listening. And so if they're not born yet, maybe now's a good time to start talking about what's our plan, right? If they're 2 years old, 3 years old, or even 10 years old, it's still a great time to start talking about, you know, what's next and create the plan and have that discussion. And, you know, I think that's interesting that you're right, that so often, even when you get, you know, folks get married, we don't always have that conversation about even what our values are and what our goals are. So maybe it's, you know, having multiples and realizing, okay, this is kind of bigger than what we thought it was going to be. So it's forcing us to look at it in a bigger way. So now is the time to do it. So, you know, I'm wondering, okay, with a lot of twin parents, I mean, I have to say in our local twins club, we see that it's so often, whether the moms are working full time or not, it's quite often that it comes down to, after having babies, you know, you need to take some time off just to care for babies, recover, and that can take a while. So it might mean that the family is down to one income, and so that might make a huge financial impact upon the family. So what are some ways that parents can save during those lean times?
Lean on others. And that's first and foremost, whether it's family or friends, don't be afraid to ask for help. I know that, you know, at the beginning, Teresa and I were probably a little bit more apprehensive about asking for help, but that's one of the reasons why we ended up back in Michigan, is because of family and friend support that we're here, because it does get expensive. And I remember, our parents helping us out and buying diapers and formulas, and even aunts and uncles would come over and drop off a box of Huggies or whatever.
Oh, that's great. Did you send out emails? I mean, like, how did you actually ask for help?
We actually, in most cases, I don't know if we actually did specifically like with those types of things, but with like with college planning, I'll pivot there. Like we knew that we were going to set up 529 plans. Mm-hmm. And I tell families this all the time, whether you plan on directly contributing to 529 plans or college plan or not, it's best to set them up and let others know about them, whether it's family, friends, because like with any 529 plan, no matter what state you live in, other people can contribute to it. And I knew that was one of the ways that was going to be able to help, because a kid that's one or two is not really going to care much about a toy, but you know, 18 years from now, when they have, you know, money in a 529 that they can use for college, that's going to be a much more value add to them. And from my perspective and being a wealth advisor, that was going to provide some of the help that we were going to need, because we weren't going to be able to foot the bill ourselves for, you know, three at the time and now four kids.
And just for everyone's listening, so there's the 529 college plan. So that's just like an account that parents can set up for their kids at any age?
Yes. Yep. You know, you talked about ladies that are currently pregnant. as soon as you deliver and you have that Social Security number, guess what? You can set up a 529 plan. And the great thing about 529 plans are you put money in what we call post-tax. So, you know, after you've paid your tax or whatever, you put the money in. And it grows tax-free if you use the funds for qualified education expenses. And that could be a trade school. Now they've made changes to where you can even use 529 funds for private school for K through 12. So they kind of opened up the limits on some of it, but they're great because you can say put $1,000 in today and it grows to $2,000 in a couple of years. And you use that for college, you don't pay any tax on that $1,000 of growth.
Wow.
Which is what you would typically see.
And you said that it's also just recently opened up, so it can be used for private school, elementary education, elementary through high school as well.
Yes, K through 12. Yep. It's one of those programs again where anybody can contribute to it. So, you know, my, you know, immediate family, they have the account number. They just write a check, send it in, and it's in their account. And they're going to appreciate that a whole lot more. They may not appreciate it now because they still want that toy for Christmas or their birthday or whatever. But, you know, I tell, you know, grandparents that get them whatever you want. But then if you can, drop 25, 50 bucks, 100 bucks, whatever you want into, you know, their fund. And so today, like, especially my girls, Madison, even Mackenzie, my little one for that matter, they know they have college funds. They even, you know, when they get an allowance or something or extra money from grandma, they'll say, Dad, I want to use this in my college fund. So I'm going to put it in my piggy bank, but then let me know when you want to send in the check to make the deposit into my account. So it's getting them interested in having them understand, you know, what that's about too, and having them take an interest in it, I think helps, you know, along the road as well.
Well, I have to say, kid, that's pretty amazing that, I mean, your kids are truly interested in saving for college. I mean, I just personally don't know any kids that are thinking that long-term and that they're like willing to say, okay, I'm willing to put my money, you know, my allowance into a longer-term account instead of buying toys, right? I mean, I'll say my girls often, you know, they take their little allowance and we go to the dollar store and they, you know, buy the stuff. So we're trying to become a little bit more oriented towards longer term savings. So, but I think that's just such a challenge. I don't know, Sunny, how about you?
Yeah, my kids, not just, I mean, the twins, they're 5 and a half, right? Like they still like playing with fake money. So I don't have to worry about them quite yet, but I can definitely tell with my singletons, my boys, you know, they're just looking for the next video game or whatever. But in all fairness, like, I mean, this is Paul's business, right? He probably instilled some stuff from the very beginning, whereas the financial side of stuff, I pretty much leave up to my husband. So I haven't built that in them, you know, quite as much as I'm sure Paul and his family have. And I think that probably helps, you know, when you start talking about this stuff at a younger age, you can get them thinking about it more and planning for it more.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, right or wrong, my kids are just naturally exposed to it because of what I do and hear me talk about it a lot. I mean, Madison and Mackenzie, when we were traveling to North Carolina for spring break, you know, I was on a call for probably about an hour talking to one of my business clients about their employees' 401k plan. I was on the phone with the head of HR, and we're going through various components of it. And so then after the call, it was like another half hour explaining to them, you know, what, you know, this all meant, and, you know, what this meant to Tama, my the name of my firm, my business, what signing that new client up meant to our business and our family. And it really resonated with, well, I think it resonated with them because they talked about it for quite some time after the call. But, you know, one of the things to help, I think, get kids interested in investing, and I think you hit on this, Christine, like when you take them out, they buy what they want to buy. And if they knew that, okay, an easy one is video games. So Microsoft makes the Xbox. They make a lot of the games. And so if you were to tell, you know, one of your kids that's in the gaming, well, how about we take however many dollars and buy a share of Microsoft, or buy a share of Sony, which makes the PlayStation, or, you know, I could rattle off a bunch of video game makers that probably no one may know about, but, you know, it's that tie of they understand they want, you know, that iPhone or iPad. Well, why don't we look at investing in a share of Apple stock? So it's that tie that makes them understand that, okay, yeah, I really like this product or, you know, this game. And tying that back, well, do you know the company that makes it? Well, no. Well, this is the company. This is what they do. And that kind of I've seen in some families that I've talked to, and even my own, that kind of sparks that interest. So if you can get kids interested in saving and investing early on, that's a great habit that they'll take them through the rest of their life.
I love that idea, Paul. I never thought of having a conversation, honestly, and I'm a little bit embarrassed by that, but I've never really thought of having a conversation with my 7 or 9-year-old to be like, oh, you really want, you know, this video game. Well, let's learn a little bit more about the company that makes it. And, you know, do you want to help support this company so, you know, they can make other video games and then maybe you can make some money from that? Like, that's a really interesting way of going about it. Never occurred to me to do that, but depending on how expensive the stock is, that may be something that we do in the future.
Yeah. So I think Microsoft is sitting at $140 a share right now. So it may take some time to build up the cash to buy one.
Hey, it's good to have goals. And I bet that it's less than what Apple is going for now. So
right. Yeah, I think Apple's about $210 right now.
Well, yeah, we're gonna take a break, and when we come back, we're gonna continue our discussion talking about some creative ways for twin families to save. Well, welcome back. Today, we're talking with Paul Fenner about how twin parents can save for big expenses ahead and include others in their plan. So I got to say, Paul, I really like the ideas you've been putting out for helping kids think about saving and investing. So now for parents who are usually the ones that are hit up with the expenses, how can they start thinking ahead? Even for, I mean, gosh, I'm thinking like things like cars. You know, when you said earlier, you know, when you found out you're having triplets, you had to buy a big car. And then, of course, down the road, when the kids get bigger, when they're able to drive, then they need cars. So, you know, these are normal things that are, you know, can really hit a budget. So what do you tell parents?
Well, I think I'm going to help subsidize a few girls in my neighborhood buy their first used cars, because we use quite a few that for babysitting purposes. And I know the dads of these families have already laid out the fact that, okay, you know, part of that, you know, that babysitting money needs to go into savings account to start saving for a car. And, you know, these girls are in, you know, 7th, 8th, 9th grade, but, you know, they know that expense is coming up, especially living in the great state of Michigan, where the cost of just the auto insurance is just almost unbearable, let alone, you know, the cost of buying the car. So a lot of families I've seen encourage, you know, their kids to work, whether it's, you know, a babysitting job, or I know here, like you can be, once you turn 14, you can go bag groceries at Kroger, for example, which is one of our big grocery stores chains here in Michigan. So, and I've even made sure that my kids know about that. So my triplets will be 9 in December. I'm like, you realize you're only 5 more years away from being able to go work at Kroger. And they're like, oh, come on, Dad.
I know. You know, my girls are, they're almost 10. And I'm telling them, like, yep, you need to get, you're going to get a job. And maybe that job is at In-N-Out, you know, the In-N-Out burger, right?
Yeah.
Start thinking about it because, I'm not going to be, funding all your just the extra fun stuff. You need to start thinking now.
Well, you raise a good point because obviously, as kids get bigger, costs go up. And I think that's one of the common misconceptions of having multiples is, oh my gosh, like those early years had to kill you with diapers and formula and things like that. And yeah, it was expensive, but every year, the way I've seen it is some costs go up and some costs go down. So on net, usually costs are going up every year, but they're just changing categories, for example. So, we're paying more for clothes than we did before. We're paying more for food than we did before because they're actually eating more. I'm like, I wouldn't mind going back to some of those formula days. it was slightly cheaper, and but one of the biggest costs and that people are aware of is that when you go from paying for preschool or daycare to where your kids are like in school, that can be really a material amount. And what I encourage families to do is not let income creep set in. And what I mean by income creep is say you were paying $25,000 a year for childcare costs, and now your kids are in the public school system, so you don't have that. So what just happened to that $25,000 that you were spending? Like where is that going now? Are you letting your cost of living or your other expenses like creep up, or are you saying, okay, well, I was paying $500 a week for childcare. I'm going to make sure I take that $500 and put it into my retirement savings or 529 or whatever my other financial goals are, or a blend of what those are. And if you go back to what we talked about previously, understanding what those priorities are, this again is where it's so critical to understand what you want to do with your wealth management plan, because it's, a lot of folks try to separate their personal life from their financial life. And especially with big families, you can't do it. And that's where it's so critical to have that understanding about what's important to you. And the checkbook, I have this phrase, like the checkbook never lies. Like you spend money on what's important to you. So whether it's, a big house, a car, trips, your kids, whatever it may be, if that's what's important to you, then make sure that your financial life aligns to those goals and objectives.
And I'm also wondering is when parents are planning and they're thinking about like, okay, hey, now I don't have to pay for a nanny. Yay, right? But then like you're saying, so maybe do they need to start thinking about, well, what's next? What I mean, maybe sometimes we don't even know what the next expense really is. So I think that's kind of can be hard. And then it creeps up on us sometimes, right? So I think we have to, like get input from other parents who are maybe a few years ahead of us, where they can, say, oh yeah, hey, if you're interested, for example, in your kids doing sports, I know that like just being on a sports team can be really expensive between just, the fees, the uniforms, and then if they're on a traveling team, just the travel can be really expensive. So I think there's a lot of stuff out there that we're like, oh my gosh, I didn't even know.
Yeah. And that's where like having conversations with other parents, and I'm sure you both experienced this too. I know I did, and Teresa did even more so, is once you're in this club, if you will, this parents of multiples, you just have other families of multiples like kind of gravitate to you and you gravitate to them because there's really that common bond that tie you together. And you share a lot of these stories. Like I know I talk about it with families all the time about the astronomical cost of putting your kids in sports. It is crazy the cost that can get involved in this, let alone the logistics of, moving people around. Like today I have all four of my kids here because Teresa has to put in volunteer hours for Mackenzie's cheerleading group. So we see that often. And even when you have a parent that works at home or stays at home, I should say, there's still a lot from a logistics standpoint when you have three or more kids, because there's still only one of you and there's three of them. And if they have a soccer game at 5 and dance practice at 5:30 and something else at, you know, 5:15, guess what? You're not making it. And that's where, you know, you asked earlier about asking for help. That's one area where you're either asking, you know, friends or other parents to help, or family if they're available. Because if not, then maybe you're having to go outside and hire a part-time nanny or something still, even when, you know, your kids are older, just to help drive them around.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, that's us right now. In fact, we had au pairs when my girls were babies. And, you know, we thought, okay, when they go to school, it'll be, you know, easy and we'll just figure out some after school activities. But to your point, yeah, I mean, like my girls are doing gymnastics and all this stuff that requires, you know, being driving around, and I'm working, you know, full time. So I don't have time. I just can't do that. So we ended up getting another au pair. And so my girls, they're all in school, and we thought this just makes the best sense in terms of flexibility and for cost, but it's still another, let's say, $20,000 that we, you know, didn't know that we were necessarily going to have at this point in time. So I'm with you. It's little surprises along the way, just figuring out the logistics of how to make it work. It all comes down to cost.
Yeah. And in going back to what you were saying, Christine, is that we have relied on others that have older kids, you know, that we can kind of get ahead of some of those surprises. And as much as you can, you know, one of the overlooked factors of having a wealth management plan is having an emergency fund. And it's, maybe it gets a bad rap because it's called emergency fund, but you have to have some cushion. You have to be able to allow yourself to have some financial breathing room to handle the surprises, the trip to the emergency room, or, you know, braces. Now we're starting it into orthodontics already. And luckily I met with an orthodontist here locally that said, guess what? You're the 11th triplet family that I've had in my practice over the last, I think, 20 some years that he's had it. And so he's like, I really understand. So I will make sure that I give you every discount available. So, you know, that meant a lot to me that he had that understanding. And, you know, a lot of times, like when it comes to, you know, kids' activities, if I don't see something that has like a multiples discount, I will flat out ask.
Oh, that's true. Right.
Because that, you know, it may only be a $10, $20, $30, $50 difference, but those dollars add up. They really do, especially if your kids are, you know, very active. And, you know, our girls are more active than our boys, but some of it just comes down to the logistics. It's like, you know, Teresa works full time. I work full time, obviously, with the firm, and it's challenging. And I have a fairly flexible schedule, and, you know, not every family has that luxury, but, you know, the logistics, as you brought up, you know, is very, very challenging. And, you know, I've had people that have had to hire help just to, you know, get their kids around.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And to your point about the multiples discount, I mean, I think a lot of us are aware, you know, when we're pregnant and, you know, we get all these different offers online and whatnot, and, you know, there are different things you can ask for as babies, but I think we don't necessarily realize that there might be discounts for multiples, or they might just call them sibling discounts for, as you said, sports or, you know, activities or even orthodontics. I think so. I need to remind myself, my girls are probably going to get braces pretty soon. So I need to make sure I remember. We need that.
Yeah. And that's, you know, it sounds like a no-brainer. People always want to know like specifics. Paul, give me the specifics about what I can do or how I can save. And that's actually one of them is, you know, don't be afraid to ask, is, do you have a sibling discount? Do you have a discount for multiples? Because, you know, there's a pretty good chance that this potential orthodontist is going to have four kids rolling into his office pretty frequently. And even when it comes to daycare too, like our school has a before care and an after care program. And we always thought, well, it was going to be too expensive and it was probably cheaper to have somebody come into our house and have someone. But, you know, this last year we made a major change with having me more involved with things. And what we found out, just the opposite, Why? Because our school offered multiple discounts for kids. So you had the first kid at one rate, you had the second kid at another rate, you had the third kid at another rate, and then actually our fourth kid was free.
Wow.
And I had no idea. And I'm like, started figuring out, I'm like, from a cost per hour standpoint, this is much cheaper than having somebody come into our home like a nanny or au pair. And I never had to worry about them calling in sick. I always knew where they were. I always knew when I had to be home to pick them up or at school to pick them up. And I know that they were with their friends, which, you know, with having this different dynamic, you know, was, I think, important to them or important for me that, you know, they just weren't at home sitting doing nothing, that, you know, they were actually involved with activities with their friends, getting outside. And I felt a much better relief, if you will, or peace of mind, knowing that I knew the type of structure that they were in versus, yes, we had good people that came into our home and helped out, but we also knew that, you know, maybe they weren't doing as much as we would like.
Yep. No, I hear you. And then, you know what? Now, one thing before we wrap this up, I just wanted to ask specifically about college. So I know you've talked about the 529 plan as far as for saving. Are there other things that parents can do to, you know, have their sort of their college strategy put together?
Yes. Actually, here's a shameless plug. I'm going to be presenting my program, the Alternative College Planning Plan, at the Western Oakland County Parenting Fair on November 2nd at Wild Lake Northern here in Commerce, Michigan. And, you know, a lot of times parents think, oh, the onus is all on them. Well, it doesn't have to be. You know, we want to help our kids out as much as we can. And typically, in a lot of situations where I'm working with families, I have one parent that, you know, maybe had help paying for college and didn't have any debt. And I have another parent on the, you know, or right across from them that, well, I had debt and, you know, my parents didn't help me. And, you know, I don't think I'm really concerned about helping my kids. So a lot of times I'm that third party arbitrator between, you know, the two sides, if you will. And what I wanted to develop was something that didn't put all the onus on the parents. And so, again, talking about having priorities and sitting down and having these somewhat difficult conversations about money, about finances, because, you know, a lot of people do find them difficult, is that when your kids get into seventh, eighth grade, you sit them down and you start having a conversation about college, about what they want to do, where they want to go, letting them know this is the cost. And letting them know, yes, we have some money set aside for you, but it may only cover a year or two. It may not cover all 4 years of undergrad. So what can they do? So that's when it's exploring other opportunities such as AP classes when they get to high school. I know a lot of high schools partner with local colleges, whether it's a community college or a university, where the kids can actually start taking college classes when they're in high school. I know that a lot of the districts that I, you know, work within here in Metro Detroit offer programs like that. You know, having them understand that, you know, having a job, saving, you know, part of, you know, what they make, saving part of that for college, understanding the scholarship process. They're used to, I remember growing up, you know, I'd have to go to the library and grab a book to search for, you know, scholarships. Well, you know what? Now there's apps, there's technology, there's Google that allow you to find scholarships. And yeah, it's time consuming, but, you know, $1,000 here, $1,000 there, it begins to add up. And, you know, some of those scholarships, you know, are just for a year, but others are all 4 years of college. So there's, you know, four or five ways that I tap into, you know, alternatives to, you know, just saving for 529 or, you know, saving for college through a 529. And, you know, some of it is, you know, looking at a community college rather than a 4 year, and then, you know, transferring, staying at home the first 2 years can be an option. So it's having that conversation with your kids early on to try to fill them in on, okay, what kind of cost this is and where they want to kind of grow and develop. I had one client, I use her as the case example, is that she sat her two boys down, you know, same age, seventh, eighth grade, and walked them through, like, I have 2 years covered for you. The other 2 years are up to you. You can either go in this amount of debt, or you can get into AP classes. You can work. We can look at other options. And she had a son that graduated from a pretty prestigious college over in the, I think it's the Netherlands, it's like the MIT over there of technology. And he made it through in not 4 years, but 3 years, and had zero debt. And this was a $45,000 a year school. And so there are ways to get through this, you know, the challenge of how do I fund college? And it starts with having that conversation between you and your kids about what's realistic.
You know, I gotta say, I think we could probably do a whole episode just on college planning for twins, right?
Yes.
I don't know. So Sonny, we'll have to, yeah, figure out, like, that might be a whole thing, especially as we get, you know, closer to middle school age kids.
Right. Exactly.
All right. Well, I just want to say thank you, Paul, so much for joining us today. And everyone listening, you can find more information about Paul on his website, tammacapital.com, TAMMACAPITAL.com.
Guys, so before we wrap up today's episode, you know, we have this segment that we do sometimes called When Twins Grow Up, because I know when we're in the heart of raising our twins, we're like, are they ever going to grow up? But it's funny. Sometimes you twins have really funny stories to share that mom and dad don't know about when it's actually happening. But then they share later, like, oh, yeah, my brother and I or my sister and I used to do this all the time. So I thought this was a funny story from Reddit about a twin reflecting on something he did with his brother when they were younger, so I thought you guys might get a kick out of it. So here it goes. My brother and I both entered into the science fair. Before the award ceremony, he got sick, so I went with just my mom. My brother won first place, and I didn't place at all. When they called his name, my mom made me go up for him. In the moment, I should have felt proud of my brother, but instead, I just started crying on stage and weirded everybody out.
So, they're like, wait, the kid just won and he's crying.
I know.
What?
It's like, why is he crying? And he's like, not only did the poor kid not win, right, or place at all, his brother won. But then, you know, I don't know. It makes me wonder if the mom was really trying to pull the wool over someone's eyes, or she just didn't want to go up and get the award. She's like, go get your brother's award. You know what I mean? It doesn't really, like, give more information about that. But yeah, so what are you going to do, right? Someone had to go up and get the award.
Like, yeah, he won, but I'm sure there's plenty
of that. But why is he crying? Right. The tears of joy. Tears of joy.
Tears of joy, right. Yeah. Well, that wraps up our show for today. We appreciate you listening to Twin Talks. Don't forget to check out our sister show, Preggy Pals, for expecting parents, and our show, The Boob Group, for moms who breastfeed their babies, Parent Savers, your parenting resource on the go, and Newbies, for new moms during their first year. This is Twin Talks, Parenting Times 2.
This podcast is a proud member of Parents on Demand, a network of high-quality shows for families just like yours. Download our free network app on Apple and Android and listen to your favorite episodes on the go. Hey, mamas. Don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.